Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic Indie Creator interview. It's your KPR Sir Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with one of our returning guests, Brandon Soraki, and we have a new guest, Kylie Oberlander from Avalon Comics, here to break down issues 1-5. How are you both doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. It was raining and cold and drizzling in Ohio, but now the sun came out. It's like, Ohio's notorious for having that just like crazy weather, like where it's just crappy in the beginning and then it kind of pans out to somewhat nice. So, you know, the dopamine's hitting, the sun's out. I'm ready to just have a killer time. How are you two doing though?
Well, good.
Lucky for you, we don't have the sun.
Yeah. It just has not, like, this whole week it's just been dreary and very cold. Like, May should not be this cold.
Yeah,
isn't it crazy? Like, we're neighbors, but like the weather is just so wild. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You guys, you just get the worst of the lake effect, I guess.
Yeah, apparently, right? We get it all from you guys.
We have our good friend Captain B Dub joining us over on Twitch. We Geekly in here. Thank you for joining us, B Dub. We are joined here to talk about the newest issue 4 and 5 of Avalon. But before we dive into that, Brandon, we had you on the show before. Let's go ahead and catch up, man. Like, how's everything been since the last Kickstarter?
Everything's been good. You know, obviously the last Kickstarter, it did fund. We were able to print issue 3 and kind of get that out to the public and everybody who pledged for reward on Kickstarter. We were able to go to a couple events and actually be there in person as well, do live signings and all stuff, meet,
so
you
cool.
know, all of you guys who are around us. And hopefully one day we can go everywhere for people to see us and all that stuff too, and kind of see them as well and kind of get to know everybody in different areas. But yeah, it was good. Everything's good. We've been busy, you know, working, grinding, tired, all the good stuff.
You ever hit up any cons in Ohio?
Yes, it was, I can't remember the name of it. It was a smaller con by a little bit past Ashtabula. I don't remember what the name is.
I've right never now. Even heard that place, but we're going to have to link up one of these times, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to get a copy from you in person. But, you know, we've had you on the show for issue 2, 125 interview. Issue 3, which was interview 238, and this time is interview 367. And, of course, we're joined today by Kylie, which is a new addition to the team. Like, welcome to the stream. How'd you end up joining the team?
Well, it's actually funny. I met Brandon at the Erie Horror Fest, which is like a local... It's basically like the big Erie thing is the Erie Horror Fest, and they hadn't done it for years, especially like with COVID and everything. So it was awesome. I saw that there was a comic and I had no idea that somebody was making a comic here in Erie, and it's about Erie. So I started talking to him and I'm like, I'm a writer. He's like, that's really cool. And then we just started talking. So yeah. And that's how we met. And I was like, here's my number. Let me know if, you want any, you know, help with the writing. And yeah, pretty much like a week later, I think I heard from you. And he's like,
I wanted to give it a little more time so I didn't seem so like clingy or whatever. But yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, chat with her for, you know, you were there for the 3 days, weren't you? You
went yeah, all 3 days, yeah.
And, you know, seeing her here and there and all that stuff and chat with her and all that stuff. So I, you know, and then she introduced me to her podcast as well. And it was just one of those things that just worked for Avalon and all that stuff. And
it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, way better to have her here as well in Erie so we can actually have actual meetings and figure things out and make it easier in that way as well.
So, yeah. Kylie, feel free to shout out your podcast real quick.
Oh, yeah. So, my podcast is called Tia and Rio Attempt to Save Themselves and the World. And it is about two women kind of struggling with mental health issues. They're at a low point in their life. And at this particular moment, hell itself intervenes and tries to convince them to, you know, basically commit suicide, like come with us, join the dark side. And they're like, no, life is worth living. I'm gonna keep going. And now hell is kind of just following them and trying to get the good souls, because mm-hmm. hell is tired of messing around with evil people. They want the good people. So that's kind of what it's about, like a general gist.
I love that though. I love themes to podcasts. I think that's always an interesting take, you know, and it adds a little spice of variety to things.
Yeah, thank you. I always like to say it's like an HBO show without an HBO budget.
That's so cool. That is awesome. So what, you know, give us a little bit about some of your past works, you know, like how did you get into writing?
Yeah, so I actually went to school. I graduated from Penn State Behrend with a degree in creative writing. So I have a BFA. And after that, I was like, I really want to be in film and TV. I've done some short films that I've both acted in, produced, written.
Wow.
I've been in a couple features that were like more low budget stuff, but I just love that. Like, I was involved in a movie where it was actually called Swamp Zombies 2, and I got to write these little, like, infomercials for it. The director was like, oh, like, if you're a writer, like, can you write something, like, kind of fun and quirky? I was like, okay. So that was a lot of fun, and I did live in L.A. for about a year. I moved out there, like, right before COVID hit. So not exactly the best
timing, right?
yeah. And yeah, it was just crazy. But I mean, in moving out there, like, I actually got a thank you on a film that made it in. It was a documentary that made it into the Cannes Film Festival. So I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it's, I'm like all over the place. I do all kinds of stuff. I wrote like a novella that I'm hoping to self-publish someday, but yeah, like I love TV and film. So that's like where my passion is, but I've never done comics before. So that's why I met Brandon and saw like what Avalon was about, I was like, well, this is awesome. I love horror. I love things that talk about mental health. So I'm like, sign me up.
And the premise of it is just so brutal. Brandon, I could definitely see why you didn't hesitate. You know, awesome addition to the team. You know, what are you guys, you know, now that you have a second writer to the team, like, where do you see the story going? Or, Kylie, I guess, what do you see, like, your part in the story being now?
Right. So, while I was in school, studying writing was not enough for me. I ended up getting a certificate in crime psychology and public policy. And psychology is something that really interests me, and especially, like, in mental health. And once COVID hit and everything that happened with COVID, you know, you have so many people that are now struggling with mental health issues that never were before. So I think having a focus on the mental health aspect, in addition to like the zombies, of course, but, you know, having that be a part of it and such a big part of it is what I think makes this story different. And that's what I want to bring to the table.
Ooh, I like that. So, I mean, what type of like psychological effects can we expect from people experiencing this trauma, seeing their loved ones like just get ripped apart and their best friends like just like dying right in front of their eyes? Like, what type of effect is that going to have on someone?
Well, definitely PTSD is a big thing. But I think, you know, a lot of the characters when you first meet them are already struggling with a lot of anxiety. You know, you have kind of a undercoating of depression going on, and I feel like it would be hard not to get depressed if you're seeing people that you care about, something bad happens, or even just dealing kind of like with COVID, like dealing with a complete shift in the world. Like, and there is no such thing as the old normal. You're now in something that you have to completely adapt to again.
No, that, and you're 100% on the mark. I remember when COVID first hit, like, you know, after a while, you kind of like adjusted to it. But when it first hit, you had no idea what was happening. Everything was locking down left and right. I remember I didn't go into buy a crap load of toilet paper mode, but I did like stock up on some food and non-essential, you know, food that wasn't going to expire. Like, it puts you in like a whole different mindset almost.
It does. And I feel like having had gone through COVID as a collective, you know, as a collective race, it's just going to be interesting to really take that experience and put it into a fictional world that I think a lot of people are going to be able to easily relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was well said. And, you know, I've said it in past as well, as obviously this story has been thought about and written before COVID and all that stuff too. But, you know, having COVID and having everybody deal with it, like she just mentioned as well, it allows people to easily, you know, kind of understand what certain characters would be doing and all that stuff and moving forward. It's obviously like a bittersweet thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So Brandon, give us a little bit about what's happened so far with, you know, issue 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, so obviously with issue 1, you kind of meet all the characters. Yeah, right away we want to show that there are some things that we're going to be touching on, like mental health, anxiety, depression, and all that stuff as well. One of the characters are, you know, really showing that early on. So you kind of get introduced to this, you know, a lot of the characters, you get introduced that this is, you know, going to be an apocalypse. You see, you know, the first infected, you know, to let people know that this is what it is. Issue 2 kind of continues that on, you know. Well, issue 1 is with the youngest son's birthday party and all that stuff. So, and that leads into it and kind of tells more about the story between the family and all that as well. And it just a lot of it is just the realism and kind of bringing that out and all that stuff and having these characters go through those problems. And like Callie was already touching about as well, that they already had beforehand, before this apocalypse happened, and they're already separated. You know, there's the three brothers and all that stuff, and the oldest brother, Andy, is away in the city, you know, doing a police job, and the family's, you know, about 45 minutes to an hour away and all that stuff. So they don't see each other much, and there's a lot of drama that happened before the apocalypse. Now the apocalypse happened, so it's just a bunch of chaos at once, you know.
And I mean, like, what a thing to be stuck in, right? Like having a fight with your family and then being separated by an infected outbreak. I mean, so are these zombies? Like, what are we looking at with this type of infection?
So this is going to be like, you know, it's our own kind of zombie, I guess. You know, it's not, it'll hold some traditional values, of course. You know, I'm a big fan of the zombie genre, so I feel like those kind of have to be in there. But Alan and I, way back then when we were first thinking about the idea, we did a lot of research. We wanted to try to ground this comic in as much reality as possible, and that goes with the infection as well. But you know, so it is a real-ish kind of thing, or I guess it could happen, you know what I mean? So we really looked into it and dove in deep and all that. So they have different qualities of different little, I guess, monsters, you know, like, so I'll even say like zombies, you know, vampires, all those kind of things. So there's some things to kind of look forward to and all that, a perfect blend between many different things that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap, they are just so aggressive. I just love how like brutal they are. What was some of the, you know, inspirations you drew from when creating them?
Obviously, you know, you have 28 weeks later or days, the 28 days.
That was going to be my first guess, honestly. Yeah.
The Dawn of the Dead and all that stuff too. And, you know, a big one as well, not so much, you know, a little bit actually, it was 30 Days of Night. You know, there's different aspects of that movie that I want to, you know, implement into the comic as well. But, you know, even the vampires, how they were, and, you know, maybe how they kind of think and all that stuff as well. You know, there's a lot that's going to be coming out in the early stages you don't really see. In the early stages, you're kind of saying, okay, it's just another zombie story, but there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more development with the world, the characters, and the infected itself. So there's going to be development across the board.
Absolutely. Callie, what issue did you end up joining? Was it issue 3 or was it afterwards?
It would have been like right afterwards, because I know that I helped with like some small edits for issue 4. And then now as we're like getting more into it, because I know once we start season 2, which will happen after issue 6, is when it's going to just be like complete collaboration. But I've just kind of been helping with like the edits, and I'm some like what I think my writing style is like, it's very much character driven. Like I'm very good about getting into the heart of like characters. And so, you know, like if there was an opportunity with like the draft that he showed me where it's like, do you think we could add more characterization, I'm like, always yes. So
I was going to say with issue 3, and I wanted to make sure I gave the proper credit, one of my favorite things was just how deep you explored, you know, because a lot of zombie media or infected media will show you afterwards, or if it's a transformation, it's quick, but this actually takes time to show you symptoms and as they're occurring throughout, you know, throughout the day was it Miller?
Yes. So that was obviously one of the main goals as well, is, you know, because that shows a little bit of a difference in there, because you're really diving in deep to the infection and kind of seeing the side effects that it kind of brings through the eyes of, you know, Andy, you know, and the reader as well, and kind of watching that character kind of from the beginning, you know, up until now and all that stuff too. And obviously from in the Kickstarter that we posted as well, you kind of see some sort of the result or where it's heading at least. And it's not too much of a spoiler, I guess, because it's issue 1, it happened in issue 1. So it was an inevitable kind of thing that was going to happen. But yeah, it's a cool way to tell a story. We were excited to kind of show that kind of aspect of it as well. You know, being a fan of the genre, you know, it was something that I felt was lacking in some sort of area. I mean, some things have done it, but I feel like we do it a little different, and I enjoy the way we do it as well. I think we did a good job with it, and I'm happy with it. And it's just more to be told and all that stuff. And it was fun.
And once again, I love just how like blood, the, you know, the color red was like the only thing that was in color within the comic until the last issue. I thought that was just so striking as well. Oh my God, what a teaser. But what causes these eyes to explode like that? Is, if that's spoiler territory, we can avoid it. But like, you know, they start itching, they start bleeding. Like, you know, have you came up with a reasoning for that yet?
Yeah, there's a reasoning, but it is kind of spoiler-y. So that's something that goes with the topic when, you know, of everything's going to have development. You're going to see how these infected kind of move forward, or the differences of the infected over time, over issues to come, and, you know, the world as well. And, you know, the big thing that we pride ourselves in as well and moving forward is we don't want to have really anything that's like plot armor-ish. You know, we want the world to kind of dictate what happens to these characters. You know, we've said it in the past as well, as kind of you know, stupid decisions, you know, you deal with stupid consequences and all that as well. So it's all that stuff going forward. So nobody really has plot armor. We're developing the world before the characters, and it kind of just morphs into it. Just like if one of us were to make a dumb decision, we would pay the price for it. So it's just like kind of one of those things, you know.
I really loved how you guys touched on like the mentality of, you know, just survival instinct. We have the one character who busted into Miller's sister's house. It's not too spoiler, is it? Is it? Like, we said it was okay to talk about issue three.
You're good. Yep.
Okay. I had to stop myself because I was like, oh crap. But like, I just love just like that interaction. It's like, dude, like the dude was about to just cap him right there. Like, what the F are you doing here? And he's like, whoa, I'm just trying to survive. I really love how you dove into like just the human nature of what would happen if this was to actually, you know, happen in current day standards.
Yeah. No, it definitely is a fun thing too. And in kind of sitting down and obviously in the writing room, and all that stuff too, and just trying to really make these characters feel real. And obviously this is obviously Alan and I for the most part too. And when we were sitting down writing and all that stuff, we would ask ourselves like, what would we do in that situation? And then we kind of stretched out a little bit more and all that stuff and made it fit the character and the situation they're in as well. And it was, you know, it's fun. It's fun seeing it like that. It does. I'm glad people see it as well as a real reaction as well, because we find it to be a real reaction, a real kind of conversations they have, and all that stuff. It's fun. It's a good thing. Yeah.
That is so awesome. So, Callie, before we dive into the campaign, I got to ask, when you first started working on this, which character were you most excited to begin with?
You know, that is a really good question, because I feel like the whole family, it's almost like, even though they're individual characters, there is this kind of like, they're very together right now. And what I was excited about is breaking them a little bit more apart. Like, I like, you know... I think it's always more interesting the higher the stakes, right? So if you introduce a family that's a really solid family unit, it's going to be all that more heartbreaking when things don't go well for them. But for me, I feel like Andy and Mason are really like interesting characters for me. I like their dynamic. And I also really like, is it Dana? Is that right, Brandon?
Dana,
yeah, I'm saying that right.
Oh, Danny, that's Danny.
Sorry,
Dana. Now you have the power to change that name. So
I was like, wait a second. What's going on right now?
Yeah. Danny too. Like I like her character as well. Yeah.
No, that is so awesome. So guys, I think right now would be the perfect opportunity. Let's go ahead and pull up the Kickstarter and see what all the hype is about. If you're able to back, we would love to see that. But simply putting this on Facebook and Twitter, anywhere you can, word of mouth is 100% free. And I mean, dude, this is a badass story. I read issue three. I read all three of them, but I remember issue three the most, and I loved every single one, dude. Drenched in Blood. I love the emphasis on it, like the way you do your paneling, and like some of the pages had like were broken apart by blood puddles. And I was like, dude, this is such a brutal comic.
Yeah, I'm not gonna take any credit there. That's all Demetrius, you know, and like to give him credit where it's due. You know, a lot of that stuff I couldn't even think about before. And what's fun with that and going into, because obviously the first six issues are written and done, you know, going into the second season, all that stuff, knowing that Demetrius is able to do all those things and, you know, his drawing ability and his, you know, panel layouts and all that stuff as well. It's going to be fun kind of writing out, you know, the panels and all that stuff too, for the next season, and kind of getting that out and knowing what he's capable of too. He does a phenomenal job with making it look like a kind of camera is kind of flowing through the whole scene. Or the paper.
Absolutely. We are looking at Avalon issues 1-5. A brand new infection is here to bring hell. Follow the Castle family and see them take this head on. Currently at $770 of a $2,500 goal, with 18 backers and 55 days left to go. How are you guys feeling? I mean, Callie, is this the first Kickstarter you've been a part of?
No, I've been a part of one before for a short film that ended up being successful. So I was really excited about that. But yeah, this is like my first... My first like big comic journey, and I don't have a lot of like the Kickstarter that I'm thinking of that I was involved in is like years ago. So this is my first one in a long time, and I'm very excited because the difference is, you know, with a film, it's something you kind of have to wait around for. This is something that's like tangible. You know, you can actually get your hands on it. You know, and even if you're just getting like the PDFs and stuff, you know, it's going to come rather quickly with like a film, you know, that takes time to make, to edit. You know, so it's just, I love getting into a new medium, and this medium is very exciting for me. And I also agree that our artist is just, he is phenomenal.
So Brandon, can you give a shout out to the rest of the creative team, or is that it so far?
Well, yeah, it was basically, it's us two here, Demetrius Nastos as well, and Alan Dingfelder. And so that's basically the creative team that we got right now. And you know, I'm happy that we have all that we have right now, because obviously without them, this wouldn't be here where it's at right now. And obviously without all of you guys pledging our Kickstarters in the past as well, it wouldn't be here, you know. And obviously it's always going to help us move forward and get this out. And I always love reading this, you know, Demetrius's art on an actual piece of paper. It's always great to see it in photos on the computer, but it's all that much better to get it in a physical form.
Yeah. So is this you're doing a double issue campaign this time around?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to do issues 4 and 5. The goal is to get 4 issues out here out this year, which we're on pace for that. And then kind of move forward with trade paperback at the beginning of next year as well, putting all the 6 issues, which would be our first season, into one big book and all that stuff. And this is kind of, we have to get through the steps, baby steps here first. And this is one of the steps.
So is that kind of just doing the double issue to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit faster?
Yeah, and Demetrius is able to do it as well. You know, it gets the ball rolling quicker, and he, you know, obviously having chat with him and all that stuff too. We're all on the same page with this and getting this out, and you know, having it out, and like I said, having the four issues out this year was a big kind of goal of all of ours moving forward. And you know, this avoids us doing many mm-hmm. Kickstarters and kind of just putting it one, and then we could do the move forward in that way.
I love this cover too. You had the family walking out the blood puddle, and then you have the different silhouette in the puddle. Like, this is such a striking cover.
Yeah, yeah. I this was his idea as well. You know, especially with the big crow as well. You know, the crow plays a small kind of like, I don't know, what do you call those things? Those little things that happen in stories. You know, like a broken mirror is bad luck. Like, what do you call those things? You know what I'm talking about though?
Like I'm not the writer. I'm just the interviewer.
Like, are you talking about like a metaphor or
is that a metaphor?
Red herring?
We'll just call it whatever you guys want to call it. But yeah, it's one of those things. And you know, it's a small little scene, you know, and all that stuff too. And he kind of blew it away and all that stuff. He took it, and I love it. You know, I love the cover. I love these actually next 2 issue covers as well.
Is it a premonition?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
Foreshadowing.
Like... We're gonna be doing this like the whole entire interview. This, I love it. Thanks, Brandon.
Kinda, shooting it out every so often.
No, this is really awesome cover though. So who do we have here right here on the cover?
We have
a mustache.
We have a big mustache of the dad. Yeah. See, you know, if we ever do a live action there, Cody, you can play dad.
You know, I have a switchblade that pops open with the comb just for the stash.
See, there you go. You know, you already cast it as the dad. But yeah, so you have the dad, the big head there is the dad. You have mom on the left, Ty in the middle, and Mason on the right. Andy is walking away in the puddle, kind of showing what this kind of issue is about a little bit. You know, the family's dealing with their thing. If you read issue 3, you know, kind of the impact that was left at the end of issue 2, you saw the impact literally of what happened at the end of that issue, and you're kind of following up with that impact and what happens to in their journey from what happened to where they're going to be and all that stuff as well. And yeah, you'll see. There's some good stuff in this issue and the next.
And then here are some interiors from issue 4. And I just, like I said, I love how the only color is blood. That's the only color you get in this. It's right here, especially like when it's a dark, you know, silhouette, and then you just see the eyes and the blood splatter. It's just gorgeous. It's awesome.
Yeah, and again, like I've said it in the past as well, you know, the idea is always, it sounded good, it sounded great, but having Demetrius be able to sell it and make it and really blow it away, blow it out of the water, really, you know, is what makes it, that idea 1,000 times better. And you know, it wouldn't be where it's at artistically if it wasn't for him. You know, he really, you know, makes Avalon what it is.
Yeah.
So Kylie, what's your thoughts on issue 5's cover?
I love it. You know, it's not, to me, it doesn't stand out as much as the stash. I am always blown away. Like, I can't even draw a circle. I can't draw a line. Like, to me, this is just, above and beyond any kind of skill that I have. And I just think that it's also like this cover to me is also one of like the darkest, you know, because it's like you don't know a lot of what's going on, but you see what's happening, and it's like,
yeah,
it's just kind of a like, you know, stuff's going down.
I love the happy birthday note too. That is so sad.
Yeah. So that's a good thing though too. It's like you got these little things that are coming, and you know, and things to look forward to. And a big thing that Demetrius and I talk about quite a bit is the standard covers of all of Avalon are going to be, you know, kind of foreshadowing what's going to happen to the book. You know, mm-hmm. It's very common, you know, comics do it all the time too, but it's always, but he adds these little Easter eggs as well of the, you know, most of the times you kind of get like what the story is going to be about inside. But having him add these little Easter eggs as well, and this is him most of the time as well. He adds these little Easter eggs. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Let's roll with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he does a great job doing that. And even just like looking at this page, I'm not going to say what the Easter eggs are. You guys will find out later. But there's a lot of good things here that is foreshadowed here that are coming up in this issue and the next few as well.
I love how I said it made me feel sad. Brandon's like, good. That's what we want.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
And then we have interiors from issue 5 right here as well. And this is, phew, things are hitting the fan, it looks like.
Yeah.
I love that, the zoom in on the eyes, too. In issue 3, we had him talking about how his eyes were itching, bad headaches and everything. So it looks like it's coming to a climax in this issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a sad moment for a lot of people. You know, most of the times I talk to people, they love Miller's character, you know.
Yes.
We'll just have to see what happens with him.
Yeah.
And then right here, of course, is an ominous sight. Oh man. So do we explore exactly kind of the infection in issue 5, like the full transformation, or is that season 2 level?
So what do you mean? Like get diving in deeper in what the infection is?
Yeah.
So no. I won't in this issue, you're not going to get that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to kind of give anybody false hope about it and kind of read it and go.
He's just like, you know, dangles it. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So you're not really getting that with issue 5. It is something that will be discussed in future issues going forward. For right now, the idea is really kind of building this world. And like, you know, because like I said earlier as well, is kind of developing all of it. The characters, mm-hmm. the infected, and the world as well. You're going to see a lot of it kind of the infected kind of develop with the story and all that stuff too. But there's other things in the future that are in the works of figuring out and learning more about the infection in different avenues.
I really love this blood panel, like how it's just a blood splatter making the panel around his character. Such an awesome thing. These interiors are gorgeous. And then of course we have past issues right here. The cover 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Classic.
The classic one, right? Yep.
Man, this is an awesome campaign, guys.
Thank you.
And then the stash, of course. I feel like I could pull him off. Let me get a flannel on real quick.
You could do that pose, too, and we can kind of throw that in the Kickstarter.
Yes.
Oh, dude, a variant cover. All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
My head's going to be too big to leave the room soon.
the Cody edition, right?
And then this was the Christmas special, right? The last Christmas?
Yeah, that was the standard cover for it, but yeah. Yep.
So cool. I love it.
You know what he should have done now that I'm thinking about it? He should have had Santa's sleigh go through the moon there.
Hey, always chance for when you hit that trade paperback.
Yeah, right. You know, just a nice little thing there, but yeah.
And then right here is a prime example of what I was talking about, how you just have this big page and all these panels are broken apart by the blood. It's just so cool looking.
Yeah, again, that was him and kind of to piggyback off what I already said earlier, as well as knowing all that stuff for season 2 when we get into the writing, you know, kind of breaking down the panels and all that stuff, knowing he's capable and he does a good job at it too. It doesn't look messy. You mm-hmm. could still be guided and know where you're supposed to be. It's great. You know, it's awesome for us, me and Callie here, to know that going forward when we're breaking down the panels and of season 2.
And to start out in like snowy weather, I'm sure that was a challenge in itself, right? Drawing all the individual snowflakes.
That's a question for him. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like she said earlier too, I can't do that stuff. There's no way.
Yeah.
No way in hell. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and check out some of these reward tiers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So guys, we have pledged 6 or more. You get Avalon 4 and 5. So 2 issues for $6.
You know, practically giving them away.
Yes. How many pages are they?
24 pages each.
Oh, wow. Wow. So 48 pages for $6. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better deal. And then we have 10 or more. You get issues 4 and 5 physically. So 48 pages. That, I mean, this is the price of most, you know, single issue campaigns.
Right. Yeah. So it's you know, a big kind of idea with us moving forward with this Kickstarter is, you know, really trying to make it appease the eye for people who are newcomers and really, you know, they like the art. Say they see the art on social media or whatever it is, somebody sharing it, you know, they want to give it a shot. You know, you have many opportunities to give us a shot. You know, we're proud of what we got story-wise and art-wise. So it's just one of those things. Make it easily accessible for anybody to grab it and kind of try us out.
Absolutely.
We have the variant issues at 15. So those covers are coming soon. Do you have an idea of maybe what they're going to look like?
Yes, they're going to be, I'll tell you that it's going to be two separate covers, right? And they're going to be, when you put them together, it's going to look like one big cover. So it's going to be one of those kind of things. So it's going to be a cool thing. Demetrius kind of hit me with this idea a while back, and we were originally going to do them for the standard, but it sounded like a variant cover to me, so I was like,
okay, it sounds like a variant cover.
Yeah,
it does.
So it's gonna be kind of like a double kind of page. You know, they're gonna connect with each other. It's gonna be a cool thing. You know, ascending and descending is kind of the idea. So let your mind kind of play with that.
We'll update
the Kickstarter when it's done. Yeah,
you receive a nice poster with it as well.
Yes.
Cool. That is so cool. I'm loving these tiers, man. These are some fantastic pricing right here. Oh, wait, no, that's the next one. Sorry, I was reading the next one. Yes, my apologies.
Yep, you're fine.
And then we have at $20 the PDF catch-up bundle. So issues 1 through 5 for 20. Damn, dude, you guys are outpricing everybody at this point.
Come here, come buy it. You know
what yes. I mean? Yes,
yes. Join the fantastic Avalon family. That's what we want. You know, we want as many people just to get into this, attached, and then maybe we'll break your heart. Maybe we won't. I don't know.
Maybe it turns into a big love story. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want to believe that. And at 35, we have the Avalon variant cover bundle. So this will be issues 2 through 5 with the issue 4 and 5 variant as well. So awesome pricing on all these tiers. We have a goodie bag. Kylie, give us a little bit about what this goodie bag has in it.
So yeah,
everything.
It literally has all you saw and more. You know, you get all the issues and all that stuff. You get both the covers for each issue as well. You know, the unique covers as well. It's a cool thing. And that Miller, I can't wait to see that colored as well. That Miller poster isn't done yet, but I can't wait to see that colored. That was the T-shirt campaign that we did, a 2-week online store as well. That's what we put on the T-shirts. And actually, you can buy a couple of those T-shirts on the add-ons as well. They're fun T-shirts, or nice T-shirts. You did a good job on the Miller kind of art with it too, and all the good stuff.
Yeah.
You get all the good stuff of the goodie bag.
Ooh, absolutely. And then we have character sketches as well?
Yes, that's a fun one. That all the characters that you see there are one of ones. For anybody who's known us before as well, as Demetrius is from Greece, so he hand drew these, but with pencil.
Wow.
11 by 17, sent them over to me. I have them already, so there's no question. I'm like wondering if you're gonna get it. I already have them.
There's only one of each, so these are very exclusive.
You have one next to you?
Yes.
Here, let me zoom you in. We'll show it off.
Can you see it?
Wow.
Let me do this. I got this. I'll figure this out.
Boom.
Nice.
Yeah, that is gorgeous. Gorgeous pencils.
Yep, he did a good job with it. All of them come with the duo sketches, and obviously they're listed in there as well. And I almost dropped them.
Hey, this one comes with free crease included. And then a custom character bundle at $225. So what's this include?
I'll let Callie explain it.
This includes everything that you just said, but again, we want to make people feel like they're a part of the Avalon family. So with this Catch Them sketch, you can have Demetrius draw you and feel like you're a part of the comic.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's going to do the full color, you know, how the grayscale and all that stuff as well. It's going to be an action shot, so you're going to feel like you're in the world. You know, obviously, this is the brand of Avalon here. You know, Demetrius is, you know, kind of the face of it with the art style and all that stuff, too. You'll get this kind of art style, You'll get your own custom person if you want it to be you, somebody you think is cool, you know.
Yeah.
Someone you hate, you know.
Somebody you hate to get eaten, you know. All
get
that
him killed stuff, off. You know?
But it'll be an action shot and all that stuff. It'll be a fun, kind of a fun thing to do, you know. I actually can't wait for that. I actually might buy it myself.
And then we have some add-ons right here, of course.
Yeah.
And some stretch goals, too, so... Awesome, man. So every backer will receive PDFs of issue 1 through 5 as they are completed. Everyone that gets a physical copy gets a bundle of Avalon stickers at 3,000. At 35, everyone who wants it will have their name on a unique thank you page. 4,000, everyone who got a physical copy will receive an exclusive photo of Andy and his family, and Andy and Miller as well. And then 4,500, every physical backer will receive an exclusive Avalon foil book. I love holographic stuff. I mean, the shinier the better, right?
I say the same thing all the time. I don't know why I do. The foil bookmark things and all that stuff too. I know a lot of people do as well, but it's cool.
No, I love it. I have a little foil sticker right there. The shinier the better, you know.
Yeah. It catches your eye, you know.
It has to be when I was younger and Pokemon cards came out. When you started getting holographic ones, it's like, dude, I need more of these.
Yes, of course. That's what I'm saying. You see them, you're like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. So you got to find them.
Brandon, Kylie, after going through that Kickstarter in its entirety, for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them to kind of help push them over that fence? Kylie, we could start with you first if you'd like.
Sure. Well, again, I'll just go back to if you have gone through COVID, whether you've had COVID or not, just being alive in this day and age, mm-hmm. I feel like this is a story that you can relate to. You know, and I mean, again, like I'm somebody, I love horror, like in general, like horror is my favorite genre. But I feel like even if you are not huge into horror, you could still enjoy this because it is kind of like a drama with a lot of horror elements. And it's just very relatable. And I feel like people enjoy stories that they can relate to. So, And hey, you cannot beat these prices.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's my pitch.
Right. I mean, just to piggyback off of her and kind of shine light on some of those points as well, you know, if you're a big fan of mental health, reading about it and kind of understanding it, because everybody deals with it in their own way. You know, yeah. One of our biggest kind of pitches with this Kickstarter as well is at one point or another, anybody and everybody is going to have a character to relate to. It's mm-hmm. going to be open for everybody and anybody, like I just said, too. So, no one's ever going to be left out, you know, and the big question would be, you know, you'll find a character in here, you'll relate to that character, and then you can ask yourself, how would you do in this kind of situation and survive in there? Because originally that's kind of where Avalon came from the start. You know, I watch zombie movies all the time. I watch all that stuff. And I always ask myself, how would I pan out in this kind of situation? So that was like the original question for myself, which led into this. And it, everybody can ask it as well, reading Avalon.
So how do you think you'd pan out?
Oh, I would live.
I wouldn't say I would live too, but I wouldn't say I'd be like the overzealous like survivor and I would get caught in a trap and die. That'd be my way out or something.
I could see something like that. Cause like even like watching The Walking Dead too, I could see me dying from a walker just laying there biting my ankle or something.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? Like that's it. That's how I'm going out, you know. But like even like that, you know, come on.
I'm biting everyone on my way out though. You best believe it.
I'm not losing here.
So, Brandon, we had you on the show before. Kylie, this is your first time. Anytime I get to this part of the show, I love asking for a little bit of advice. Because as much as this is a nice show to promote who you are and your book, we often have new people who are watching and sometimes are struggling a little bit. So I think with you both kind of focusing on writing more emotionally driven characters, what would be some advice you'd offer to someone who's having a hard time doing that?
I find that the more... you can like there is a saying like write what you know. So if you are going through something, even if it's kind of abstract, like just get your ideas on paper. You know, even if it doesn't make sense, most of writing, just so you know, is rewriting. So you write down an idea and then you let it sit. Even if it's just for a couple of days, it could be for a month. You could even take years off of it. And then when you come back with fresh eyes, or you have somebody else like read it. And then you get feedback or maybe you're like, I don't know if that's working, but hey, this part can work. And then let me mm-hmm. just, you know, I mean, that's, you just got to keep doing it. I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of people get very discouraged because, you know, for one reason or another. But I mean, it can be done. You just got to keep going.
And that's just it, really, you know, and I've said in the past as well, it's just do it. And it comes down to, you know, because I had no clue what I was doing. You know, I mm-hmm. honestly still don't. you know, but you, no matter what, you find a way to do it, you know, and hence, you know, Kelly, you know what I mean? So she's going to help me through this journey as well. And, you know, learning mm-hmm. different avenues and all that stuff as well. So it's no matter what, just keep doing it. Like she said as well, keep going. And if you're stuck, find a way to figure it out. You know, there, it takes time. It takes, you know, like she said, there's rewrites, there's all that stuff. Don't get discouraged. Just keep moving forward.
Awesome and networking. Networking oh, yeah, always helps too. I know mm-hmm. some people, like I'm very good about networking in person, but now kind of getting on shows like this, it's kind of fun. Like I feel like I can network online too. And you know,
she got
so
the
I mean,
bite.
Yeah, you know.
The Avalon bite, yeah.
Yes.
So outside of creating, you know, we now end the show on what you guys are consuming. So I mean, what are you guys, you know, watching, or what do you, if you play games, what are you gaming? What are you reading? You know, what are you doing outside of Avalon?
Yeah. Do you want to go first, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can go first. You know, since I really started getting into the ground and dirt with all Avalon and all that stuff, I haven't really been watching a lot of things. But you know, there are things that I do want to watch all the time. I do watch The Walking Dead, you know, all the time. I was a huge fan of it, you know, when it first came out. I still am. I actually just picked up the comic book, The Crazies. I didn't realize it was a comic book, so I
didn't
that.
Either. That yeah, sounds so, like it would be awesome as a comic book.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it kind of plays with the idea of the remake and all that stuff too. But I was reading that. I read the first issue of that, and just, you know, I watched Evil Dead and all that, just like horror stuff, you know. And zombies, you know, that's really kind of what I kind of stick around.
Did you know, you guys know that The Last of Us had a comic book too? I think it was like American Dreams or something like that.
Oh, no.
I did not know that, no.
I think it takes, with Ellie and Riley, I think it like centers on them.
That's cool.
Like kind of like how the Left Behind DLC was like the end of their story.
Okay. That. Oh, so is it following like the game and kind of and after the fact?
I think it's like a prequel to Left Behind. I could be wrong though.
You might be right, because didn't the one girl die? I can't remember her name.
Yeah, Riley, Riley. Yep.
Yeah. So that could be the case. You know, I feel like projects are doing that a lot too. Like little things like that, and then they'll do little stories like little short comics mm-hmm. series, like 6 issues, 12 issues, whatever it is. But yeah.
So yeah. Kylie, what about you before I rudely interrupted? Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. So the last movie that I watched in theaters and I loved it was Evil Dead Rise. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that was made my horror heart very happy. But I, as far as shows go, my favorite zombie show that I just recently rewatched is iZombie, which to me is one of the most unique takes on like just the zombie genre in general, which is another reason why, like, when I read Avalon, I was like, okay, like we can make this very different. Like, it can be mm-hmm. you know, similar to a lot of things, but also very different. And the show I just finished was called Beef, which is like the Netflix show that's like blowing up right now, and it is so good. Talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. like and just having a crisis and just going through a lot. Like I that really blew me away. I was
would
very
have never
surprised.
Guessed from the title. I'm like, you said Beef, I'm like, okay, I wonder what type of show this is going to be. This is a really interesting title.
Like ground yeah. beef and how to make it.
No, it's basically it's start, you know, just real quick, I mean, it's two people that have kind of a road rage incident, mm-hmm. and then they develop an obsession over one another, and it goes really far, like, and just it takes turns you would not expect, and I love that. Like, nothing makes me happier than people kind of going away from a formula and doing their own thing to surprise. Like, if mm-hmm. I don't feel surprised, it's you know, I don't like predictability.
No, absolutely. We got Mama Geekly joining us saying she loves this interview and loves horror stories, just not watching horror on TV. I hate seeing dripping bloody stuff. This comic might not be, she said she wanted to check this out. You might not like it, Mom. It gets pretty bloody in the interiors. Just a forewarning.
Well, the good thing is it's not dripping like in a literal thing. It's not on TV.
Yes.
You can see it on paper.
It's on the page.
That's, that's true. It doesn't move. It's just visually.
It's just like, oh, that's a cool art piece, you know? It's just, yeah.
Yeah, hey, if you're flipping through and you don't like blood, you can quickly catch up and then just turn the page. That's it.
Absolutely. Hey, I might have an issue here for you to check out, Mama, so I'm going to have to swing it your way. That being said, guys, it is time for us to wrap up. Thank you all for swinging by. It is New Comic Book Day, so hit this link in chat. Be sure to check it out. Mama Geekly says she can handle it, so we're going to see. We're going to get you issue four and five and see what you think, Mama. But with that being said, it's time for us to wrap up. Hope you all have a lovely time. Most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.